Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, and we're going to be talking about some recent purchases. These were from my comic shop. This is filling some of the gaps I have for Our Fighting Forces, featuring the Losers. This is 151. It's got the Losers walking over a broken up bridge. It says, "Nobody around to stop on this mission, guys. Once we cross this bridge, we're in, Storm." And there's a bunch of Nazis under the bridge aiming at them. We have Our Fighting Forces 154. It's a Jack Kirby cover, Jack Kirby art. The sudden death of a pushman who lives and dies by his code, Bushido. Beautiful cover. We got Our Fighting Forces 158. Another Jack Kirby one. Captain Storm there. He looks like he's going to get run over by... It looks like a woman. He's like, "Shoot, Storm, shoot. I can't. It's great to win a hairy battle, but who would win a medal for this one?" I guess he just wants to get run over. Our Fighting Forces Jack Kirby cover, number 159. "Come back, Sab. It's a trap. I can't. They were more than a mere enemies, the Nazi paratrooper and Mile a Minute Jones." And he's running, and looks like some Nazis are going to shoot him in the back. Our Fighting Forces, the Losers, 163. This is a couple of the Losers climbing into the eye of a Skull Mountain. It says, "We're safe. The Germans will never find us in Skull Mountain," but they have the machine guns at the top looking over the skull like they're going to shoot them. Our Fighting Forces 169, this has them driving a Jeep that's on fire. And Captain Storm saying, "We busted through the roadblock. Keep her rolling for home. But things are still hot. More Krauts opening fire on our truck." And they're shooting from above. Yeah, the Losers, Our Fighting Forces, 174. Joe Kubert cover. This, they're getting shot up by a U-boat. Winner takes death plus an inch of war. "If them bullets don't kill us, nothing will. Keep going. Shore's just ahead." And then they're swimming into a landmine. Our Fighting Forces, number 177. This has a German plane trying to shoot the Losers, maybe even crash into them with a boy strapped to the wing. "Don't mind me, just shoot. This Loser must die plus ordeal by fire." Our Fighting Forces 179. This has a boy guiding the Losers. Looks like the same boy. "The Nazis will never think of looking for us in here for sinking their gunboat." Star Spangled Comics 180. This is featuring the Unknown Soldier, Joe Kubert cover. "Floating mines, jump or we're dead. There's not only mines, but there's a shark underneath." Star Spangled War Stories 183. It's got the Unknown Soldier pulling off his Nazi mask. "Colonel, where are you?" He's behind a door, getting ready to shoot his Luger. Star Spangled War Stories 186. The Unknown Soldier is there, and there's a woman with a little girl. Joe Kubert cover. "We will get the American killer, Father." So it looks like an American killed. Maybe that's a man. Killed a little girl, a German girl, and they're blaming the Unknown Soldier for it. Star Spangled War Stories 187. It's a Nazi pulling off the mask of the Unknown Soldier. Two Nazis in the back. Star Spangled War Stories 198 has the Unknown Soldier on the top of a roof throwing a grenade through a Nazi window while there's a gang full of Nazis getting ready to shoot him in the back. We got the Rampaging Hulk number one. This is a Marvel comic from the 1998 by Greenberg and Leonardi. It's a good series. I read it online and decided I wanted the physical copies. I have number 2 of that and number 5, but I got a ways to go. I think there's like 9 to 12 issues. And then I started filling in the Untold Tales of Spider-Man. This is the 99-cent book that I passed on. I'm such an asshole. They give us a 99-cent book, and I say, no, I don't want it. And it was by Kurt Busiek, and I still didn't get it. But we got number 1, number 2, number 3 as Sandman on the cover, number 4, number 5 has Vulture on the cover. Number 6 has the Human Torch with him getting shot at. Number 7 has another Sandman looking cover and a bunch of villains. Number 8 has the Enforcers. Number 9 has like a Man-Bat and a Lizard. Number 10 has Conquered by Commanda. So that's a pile and some of the recent purchases. And we'll be back with the weekly reads and questions. So we'll be back.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I had talked about recent purchases, and now I'm getting into some questions from our faithful listeners. And I will go to my X account, because that's where I seem to get them the most. Where do I get these from? I forgot. I thought if I... Not seeing them. What's going... Oh, I'm in the wrong application. I was in Blue Sky. I was losing my mind there for a second. Going to bookmarks. This morning, I got up fairly early. I read one of those Christmas specials that DC put out. I didn't buy it. I read it on the app. It was DC Batman Smells or Robin Laid an Egg or something like that. It was a Christmas special, and yeah, it was pretty good. I liked the Secret Six story. It's basically told through the eyes of Bane and his Secret Six mates, you know, like how he visions them. They had a secret Santa, and his was a really special gift, and he gave his gift as well. But he revealed his identity, which I don't think you're supposed to do in Secret Santa. That was a good one. And I really liked the Joker one, where Robin was sort of like a ghost of Christmas past, or he was trying to lead the Joker to see a different light. And that turned into a hot mess. I like that one. The Dead Man by Marv Wolfman was really good. That one was about people getting stuck in sort of a mine, and Dead Man hopping from body to body to try to stop the mine from collapsing during Christmas. It was pretty heartfelt, and I enjoyed that one. But yeah, it had some pretty good ones. Enjoyed it quite a bit. And then I came downstairs and read the remainder of what I had for Transformers. I got all caught up. And I'm pretty amazed how I just jumped on. Like, I've always tried to jump on and off and on and off with Transformers, but never really gotten to them. And did enjoy the movies, but not the cartoons so much. That I am enjoying this current series quite a bit, like enjoying the Energon books quite a bit. They're not as powerful as the ghost machines for me, but they're right up there. And before the recording, I was catching up on Dick Tracy. I got caught up yesterday, at least I thought I did, and I had issue 6 lying around, which starts a new arc. I enjoy that very much. I really like pulp characters, and I like that genre. I just don't think they do well. Like, I don't think they sell well. Like, what is the audience anymore? Like, is it just me? There's probably a few other people that get it, but I don't think it sells gangbusters, that's for sure. But let's go to listener questions. And we start off with a question from Kirk Spencer. And he states, "Will my wife eventually get tired of comics everywhere and leave me, sell my stuff, or set the house afire and walk away in the blaze like she's an action movie star?" And he put up a poll for it. And there were only 3 votes, but House of Fire won. I think she'll sell your stuff. That's what I think. She'll get tired of it, or get tired of not having the space or seeing the crap around, and you either have to get storage units or move that shit away. I still have to struggle with that right now. So that was a humorous question from Kirk Spencer. Kirk also asks, "Did you ever collect a comic-related trading cards? I bought many and longed for those encased wizard cards that were offered as incentives." I do have like a box of wizard cards in one of my bedrooms on a bookshelf. I have the Joe Jusco Marvel Milestone ones. I have the DC cards. I have the Valiant cards, trading cards. I have several of the Marvel ones when they were doing like Joe Jusco and a lot of those early Marvel sets. I have them in binders where you can, and they're almost in full collections, because what I did with those cards was essentially buy an entire box. And yeah, I might be missing some of the incentives, some of the Prism ones or whatever that I never went back to get. But yeah, I got all that stuff. A matter of fact, I was doing that like if in my college years, because I remember Barb would help me unbox those and put them into binders and such, and make sure I had them all in order. But yeah, I had a lot of them. I still do. I have them all upstairs in the guest bedroom. Kirk also asks, "Are best hot dogs kosher beef or made from scraps, like you'd better off not knowing about?" I vote scraps. Most of my family thinks that the pure beef are the best, but I think scraps are the best. There's something about the dog that reminds me of, I never had pure beef as a kid growing up. So I like the other ones that are not pure beef, but I think we're probably from that generation of when hot dogs were made. So I like them both. Just recently ate some hot dogs that my mother-in-law gave us, a half a bag of, from, was it Costco? It was either Costco or Sam's Club. And they were the big ones. And those are great, but I like the other ones because I think they have more flavor and they're not as greasy. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, I don't know. So I answered 3 questions. And let's see if we got another. Dallo asks, Valiants are set to blend VH1 Acclaim and VA1 universes into one thoughts. I think this is that Valiant Universe Rebirth from 2025 announcement. I don't really have any thoughts other than I just want Valiant to keep on pumping out data. I know you know me, Dalla. I'm one of the few guys that has always stuck with Valiant, and I've enjoyed it through every iteration. So blending them together doesn't bother me or anything. I just want to see it keep going, and I want to keep reading about Valiant characters. So that's pretty much how I feel about that one. You have another question that says, how do you feel about artists using the same art for multiple panels? Is this shortchanging the reader? I don't think so. I don't think it's abused. A lot of times it's used a lot in talkie comics where there's a conversation going on and they'll slightly manipulate like the mouth or something, but the art stays the same. Or sometimes it does stay the same exactly, but it doesn't faze me as long as the story it goes with the story and doesn't like look forced or yeah. I don't know. I can't think of a bad example, and I can't think of a good example. I know a lot of the 9-panel grids that Tom King uses and stuff, or the artist that he uses similar art and talking panels, and I think they're effective, at least for what he's trying to accomplish. I can't think of a bad example where I've noticed it. Maybe you can give me one, or give me a couple. I'm sure you have a list. You have another question that says, explain how you store your books. Do you keep publishers separate? How often do you store away new books once read? Do you let X amount of issues of the same title build up before you put them away in boxes? I don't really have a good way of telling you this other than I store stuff. Everything is stored by company and the major publishers. So the major publishers get their own boxes like DC, Marvel, and independents get their own, and they're alphabetically by publisher. So, but lately I've been storing them like in DC, Marvel together, and I put them in a collection as I fill out short boxes of DC and Marvel together, but separate, if that makes any sense. So the Marvel is separated from the DC in alphabetical order. And they're separated sort of by month, and that's how the unread books go. So like if I have an unread title, I collect it for about a month or so, and then I take it to the storage unit of unread books. They're all bagged and boarded, of course. And I put the drawer box away. And then the red ones I write on the box like when I read it, so I could correlate like where it is in my reading list, which you hear on Mike M's Weekly Reads. I know what dates I read stuff, and those dates go on the red box, and they're stored by a company, pretty much Marvel, DC, and then other in alphabetical order. And then I take those to the storage unit and mark on them what dates they are from. So they all have dates associated with them. And eventually, when I do read the ones on the left side, which is the unread, they get moved into the red and for the month that I read them. So that's how I store them. The old way was just merging, constantly. And with the large collection, it just got exhaustive. So yeah, I stopped doing it. But I let them build up where I have three boxes in the living room. And then I know my wife is getting annoyed and then they have to go away. So I try to make sure they're as full as possible and then I take them away. So Hope that answers your question. With the back issues, I tend to merge them a little bit more just so they'll be easier to find. But yeah, and they're all in the database. And so I more or less know where everything is. The back issues for the most part are all here, and they don't get put in the storage unit, so yep. I think that's it. I went through all the questions, unfortunately. So please send more questions. I'm sure I'll try to get this episode out before I leave for vacation. But thank you for listening, and I will be back with the weekly reads. So I'm going to pause here for a bit. We are back, and we're going to talk about books read from September 23rd through October 6th. And for September 23rd through the 29th, there were some things we watched. I watched Black Friday. That was sort of a alien creature taking over people on Black Friday. It starred the Bruce Campbell and some other actors. It was a horror movie. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It was entertaining but strange. 4 out of 5, I gave Rezbal. That's a Native American reservation basketball team in New Mexico that actually gets to go to the playoffs and play in the University of New Mexico Pitt. Really liked that one. That was 4 out of 5. And then on Disney Plus, Echo. I really like this one. This was a series that I didn't hear much people talk about, but it was really, really good. Fit in with Daredevil fans. It fit in with Hawkeye fans. It felt really good. The Kingpin stars in it quite a bit. Was w well worth it. There are 23 comics read. One Titan, one Oni, 8 Marvel, 3 Image, 7 DC, 2 Dark Horse, 1 Comixology. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We gave Absolute Power Super Son a 3 out of 5. This was S Jonathan Kent, and basically the Brainiac and Amanda Waller had taken over Jonathan Kent's body, and he was fighting against the heroes. And this series started it off. Yeah, I think there's another issue where it's sort of resolved and he gets control of his body back. I will say this about Jonathan Kent. I thought he was very powerful when Lois and Clark had him as a youngster. And I thought Brian Michael Bendis taking him into the future and becoming an older adult was a huge mistake. I still do. Not because his sexuality started to change or anything, but this broke up the dynamic between Damien and John, and I thought that dynamic was really special, and having them as a generation growing up together and experiencing things is lost. And I think the only logical reason why they were doing this potentially is for copyright. DC is going to lose, well, they're not going to lose Superman, but the 1930s Superman is going to become public domain. What that means is they won't be able to use the Daily Planet right away, but they can use Superman and he can leap tall buildings in a single bound and still have some of the characters from Action Comics number one going forward. So a lot of that will become public domain, but this John Kent just came out fairly recently, and that's a different copyright, so it won't go to the public domain. And like the John Byrne isn't going to be in the public domain, or any of the Kurt Swan isn't going to be in the public domain. So there's not a lot to worry about, but I think they're trying to copyright characters and derivatives so they can make their way. And now we have absolute Superman. So I think that's gonna, that's why they're doing certain things. So that was the 3 out of 5s. We get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Witchblade Darkness number one, Darkness Witchblade number one. Read one of the crossover events in Witchblade Darkness where the Darkness is captured by Necrobi and Kal, who are mortal enemies of the Darkness and Witchblade and the Angelus. Necrobi freed of sexual desires of humanity and an agent and Sarah go after the Darkness. I don't remember how that wrapped up, but I do remember reading these. I did read them digitally. I think I have them physically, at least one of them. But I had bought a omnibus digitally so I could read at my convenience without digging through my long boxes. The Witchblade. I've sort of become. I did get through the first omnibus, but I need to start the second in my read through. Cruel Universe. This was the EC book from Oni. Gladiators told through a dinosaur's eyes. That was entertaining. An old man hires people to execute experiences and transplant them into his brain. A man near a black hole tries to save a woman and turns out to be the killer. He's the killer of the woman. And it's like in a time loop. A guy discovers the fountain of youth only to live forever drowning in the fountain. That was entertaining. That was a lot of sci-fi stories. Very entertaining book. Absolute Power Task Force 7, 3 through 6. You got an Alan Scott JSA story, a Nightwing story. It focuses on the Flash and the Amazos taking over the characters. Failsafe Batman and Paradise Island in the Amazons. We have Absolute Power Origins number 2, still focusing on Amanda Waller's origin. Still interesting, but I think her whole motive for this whole event is, you want it fleshed out and it's not fleshed out. And I think that's the weakness of Absolute Power. Other than that, Absolute Power was a very fun event. Absolute Power number 3, that was a good issue. Pantra number 1, this is a Dark Horse book. Family is slaughtered by an escapee from an asylum. Only a daughter survives, but is she hunted by the killer? We got detective, huge detective in the future. Giants awake from all over Australia, and they're used for transportation. A woman is working on trying to solve the murder of a girl by a boy who thinks he's a giant, and she gets help from a giant detective. A very unusual story, but entertaining nonetheless. Amazing Spider-Man 50 through 57, the Spider-Goblin saga, a date with. Peter goes on a date with the Ravencroft doctor, and Rhino and another villain disrupt that date. Tombstone is after the spider and Robbie and his daughter. That's getting ready to wrap up the Tombstone saga, which lasted a long time, but it was fucking very entertaining for me. And people don't understand that I really did like this. They think I'm being sympathetic because people don't like it. That's fucking insane. I tell you what I like and what I don't like, and I tell you why I like it. And I was very entertained by this run of Zeb Wells on Spider-Man and the JRJR drawn issues, which she didn't draw all the issues, but those were my favorite for sure. I love JRJR's Amazing Spider-Man. I think he's the most one of the most dynamic artists drawing action and panels that's out there today. Yes, a lot of people will argue with me, but I don't really care. I like what I like, right? And you shouldn't have to apologize to anyone for what you like. You should defend what you like. So there you go. Beatrix Rose Vigilante. This is a Comixology story I read digitally. a story about a triad assassin. I haven't gotten back into it, but I did enjoy the first issue. I need to get back into it. Pablo Perrante's Dust, number one and two. This was amazing. I really thought this was awesome. But it's based on a board game, which I have no idea, and is about allies attacking a German castle where they're making fighting apes to attack the United States. And they have the allies have mech armor. It was really incredible. I wish there was more of it. It could be a hell of a game. I mean, the world building in this, while it was very little, was amazing because, we got two issues that I was engrossed in. So that was from Image Comics. There is more Dust stuff, but they're not done by Pablo Pirates. I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's a 5 out of 5, and that's Paranoid Gardens. This is from Dark Horse. A woman with no memory is working in a retirement home for aliens and humans. I think this is just hitting me in a time when my parents are getting older, my wife's parents are getting older, and this is like a book I needed. Like it's sort of helping me understand things, and even though they're aliens and weirdness, it's done really well, and that's by the guy from Chemical Romance. What can I think of his name? Umbrella Academy. Gerard Way. So we'll get into the next week. We have that is 9/30/2024 to 10/6/2024. What I watched? I watched Salem's Lot. I think it was the new one. I did watch the old one as well. That was a 4 out of 5. Civil War I saw for the first time. Wanted to see this at the theater, but I was like, this is kind of too soon. This wasn't what I expected at all. I don't know if the previews really described it well or portrayed it well, but it is about a bunch of reporters trying to report on the president losing power in the United States because the war, there's different factions at war with each other. Punisher season 2, I finally finished that on Disney Plus. I did get to watch the rated R version, so it wasn't sanitized like it was exactly like it was on Netflix. I enjoyed that quite a bit. 5 out of 5 was Joker Folie Doux, Joker 2. I have no apologies for liking this. I like it a lot. I listen to the soundtrack over and over again, and I don't like musicals, but I like the time period pieces that they sing. So like Wicked musically didn't do anything for me. The mu Wicked p plot was amazing, but this one I can listen to the soundtrack and really enjoy it because it's got like that Rat Pack feel to it, like that kind of music, and I like that stuff. So I thought the plot continued from the first Joker very, very well. Enjoyed it immensely. I saw it again last night. I saw the Joker again last night. Joker is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I wasn't disappointed with the sequel. 5 out of 5. I can't comprehend why the fans wouldn't that like the first one won't like the second one. I really can't, at least plot-wise and what goes on in the Joker's brain, where he has these moments of music and stuff. But I thought it was like continually good, like from the first movie to the second. And sometimes I will never understand why people like one thing and not the other thing, but in this case, I really don't. I thought they were paired good sequels together, and Lady Gaga did a great job with the Harlequin. We have 25 comics for that month: one Oni, 19 Marvel, 2 Image, 1 DC, 1 Dark Horse, and 1 Bug House. We'll start with the 3 out of 5. Sesame Street number 1. Grover helps others in Sesame Street by pairing up with friends with problems. I don't know who this is catering to. Like, is this catering to kids that are watching Sesame Street now? And is it still on? I haven't watched PBS in quite some time. Sesame Street being aired still? Or is it as accessible? I would assume so. So I it's written down like at that level, but I think it has a nostalgic feel for those of us who grew up with Sesame Street. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. I did give it a 3 out of 5 though, so I enjoyed it. I didn't like really enjoy it. The th 4 out of 5's Amazing Spider-Man Blood Hunt. It wrapped this mini that focused on Spider-Man, Misty Knight, Colin Wing, and Morbius during the Blood Hunt event. We have Darkness number 28, the finale to the Witchblade Darkness crossover. We have Captain Marvel number 9. Captain Marvel regroups with her allies against Omen. That one I don't have physically. I'm reading that digitally on Marvel Unlimited. I'm really happy with that volume of Captain Marvel. It's weird because I didn't care for the movie, and this is kind of like using things out of the movie, but I'm enjoying the comic execution. Star Wars Ewoks number 1. The Ewoks in the aftermath of Return of the Jedi look like they're going to take on Forlom and other bounty hunters and one officer of the Empire as they go down and try to retrieve more weapons on the planet that they're on. Blood Hunters 4. Interesting Silver Surfer story loosely tied into the event. One story will lead into a new ongoing and a Satana story. Blood Hunters was an anthology that focused on different characters, usually three stories during the Blood Hunt event that didn't have their own Blood Hunt crossovers. Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1 from 2024. Spider-Man has a run-in with the Infinity Witches, well, sorry, Infinity Watches Overtime, who helps him prevent the death of a villain he is trying to stop. Nighthawk backup, where Kyle Richman looks totally different. I will read the new Infinity Watch series because it is interesting. I chose not to buy it physically, and I'll read it digitally on the app. Star Wars Bounty Hunters 9 through 11. Valance is helping the rebels against a pirate attack. He then hooks up with Dengar, you know, the bounty hunter Dengar from Empire Strikes Back, to go after Boba Fett. Bosk is also in the picture now. Have Absolute Power number 4, the finale, where Green Arrow rejoins the heroes, and they are the Justice League. They form the Justice League. They seem to ignore much of the plot where Amanda was bringing in other characters from the multiverse to stop the heroes. They sort of like show it, like with the machine being destroyed, but they don't like get into the depths of how this plot might have played out. It was very strange because they did build it up and then sort of tore down, so they can launch the Absolute Universe or the All-In Universe, if you want to call it. Uncanny X-Men number 1. An issue that focuses on Trask and his daughter. Oh, sorry, this is Minus One. So this isn't the new series, this is the old one. And this was the Minus One. An issue that focuses on Trask and his daughter and son. Daughter comes from the future, and Rachel, who we know from Excalibur and such, stops her from trying to change the future. Nice intro and outro by Cartoon Stan Lee, who introduced a lot of these Minus One issues when they came out. Daredevil 10 through 13 in Giant Size number 1. Young kids find Daredevil is, I'm gonna take off my glasses so I can read better, is Matt and is responsible for killing his father, so runs from the home that Matt works at because he's a priest at this time. Daredevil and Elektra confront Kingpin, who has been consumed by greed, because you got to remember the seven sins are sort of manifesting themselves in people that Daredevil knows since he came back to life. He did die in the previous incarnation. Kingpin is devastated and turns to Daredevil as a priest and asks for forgiveness, but he cannot provide it. Meanwhile, at home, the other priest and kids are being attacked by another demon brought home by Jason. They get help from a neighbor, but now Jason is gone again. He's the boy. So we got Suicide 5 hardcover. This is an unusual story by Jason Pell, who writes Flickering Lights for Bad Bug. I got this hardcover kind of for feeling guilty about what I did at Baltimore Comic Con. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting for sure. It deals with some things that are might not be good for good people, you know, people that are depressed or such to read because it deals with suicide. But if friends that make a pact to be remembered by creating what extravagant ways to kill themselves to be immortalized. And they have like a competition for it. It's very weird. Black Hammer number 3 focuses on a Barb alien character who is a derivative of a Martian Manhunter. We got Freedom Force number 2. The Patriot character has to save young Fan by transferring his blood, which seems to have made him a sidekick as they fought a gangster. Ant and his ants attack the headquarters as he is being controlled by another woman. He becomes allies with Freedom Force. Man of War joins the team. Freedom Force is based on a game, from what I understand. I know nothing about the game. Why I bought this book was huge fan of Jack Kirby, and Tom Scioli drew it, who at the time was his style was heavily influenced by Jack Kirby. His later style is turning, I think, into something of its own. But this is when it like mimicked Kirby, which is my favorite time when Tom was drawing, because I love Jack Kirby. Speaking of Jack Kirby, these weren't Jack Kirby issues, if I remember correctly. It's Steve Ditko. Machine Man number 8 and 9. The corporation has captured Machine Man and is looking to monetize on disassembling him. Nick Fury is looking to help. The facility they are in blows up. Did anyone survive? Machine Man is at... Machine Man is at a base... He's playing baseball, and the corporation sends an assassin posing as a doctor to disable him and so they can make copies of him. This plot fails, and the assassin gets away. Very unusual. Very fun. That was the last 4 out of 5. We get into the 5 out of 5s. Star Wars, The Battle of Jakku, number 1. The aftermath of the Return of Jedi and the new Empire threat arises from a new Moff. We have Amazing Spider-Man 58 and 59. Like I told you, I love this run. But it's an all-out brawl between Spider-Man and Tombstone. One of the best-drawn fight scenes I've ever seen in my life. And as Tombstone tries to kill his own daughter, one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen in comics. I put in the notes, but I kind of already told you that. I thought it was amazing. 5 out of 5. The Star Wars I wasn't planning on getting, but... I was weak. I had told my comic shop, so Star Wars I get at the LCS, and I was all in. And I told him, please discontinue all the Star Wars. And he didn't. And I was weak, and I tried them, and it was a mistake. I should have said, you know, I'm not getting the Star Wars anymore. I should have been strong. And he gave me Star Wars, this one, and Star Wars Ewoks. And I read them, and I felt weak again. I was like, I like these. So here we are, right? So in summary, I want to say that the 5 out of 5s were Paranoid Gardens from Dark Horse, Amazing Spider-Man 58, 59, The Battle with Tombstone, Star Wars: The Battle of Jakku, number one. So we got three Marvel and one Dark Horse. And I want to thank you for listening. Please let me know if you do listen. Somehow contact me. Twitter X or Blue Sky are the best way, or send me email at mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. And I will get back with you, and please send questions. Keep the show alive with the questions. They provide a lot for the show. They keep the show topics going. Really appreciate those that provide comments, like Dennis Chandler, Kirk Spencer, and Dallow, of course, who's my go-to when I totally run out. I am out, so please send questions. And my handle on X and Blue Sky is at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can also find me on Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast. All the episodes are being posted on the website DC Noise Podcast as we migrated everything over there to try to save money and reduce maintenance. So thank you for listening. Keep reading and enjoying comics, and we'll see you soon. Have a great holiday.